on the line so far?
Sorry about that. Who do we have so far, guys? We have lots of different area codes here. Ooh, we have a +31 area code. What's that? That must be Australia. Australia or New Zealand, one or the other. Interesting. Okay, so who we got on the call so far, guys? Don't be shy. Just say hello. I'm here. Who is it?
Brad from Alberta.
Hey, Brad. How you doing, man?
Great, thanks.
Mohammed from Virginia.
Hey, Mohammed. How you doing, sir?
Fine.
I'm Greg from New York.
Hey, how you doing, man? We got the New York contingent. You guys had some weather up there, huh?
Yeah, it's not too bad today, actually.
Oh, yeah. I thought there was a cold snap moving through up there, so. And I know we had a little bit of cold weather down here in Tampa the other day, so. A little ugly. Well, good. Okay, well, let's, let me go ahead and mute out any background noise we might have. Okay, yeah. And you can unmute yourself anytime by pressing 6, but this will just help us keep the noise down to a minimum. Excuse me. But we have two primary agenda points today. Primary agenda item number one is, some staples of seasonal marketing. Let me turn those chimes off. We have some staples of marketing for the seasons. And right now, as we're moving very close to February, we're going to be talking a lot about the Valentine's Day campaign and how we should all be leveraging that. Which is a huge opportunity. I mean, it really is. It's an annual thing for all of course, the Mile High Karate schools. And frankly, ATA does a big promotion around Valentine's Day. You know, there's a bunch of usins, I guess. You know, a bunch of the folks that are in the large, multi-school organizational frame who really do a lot of stuff with that. So we'll be kind of revealing some of the strategies and resources behind that today. And secondarily, we're going to be talking a lot about something that we've seen sort of take on a life of its own and sort of grow a bit out of control without being pruned, you know, sort of like a shrub that you leave unattended for a long period of time. And that's strategy for these preschool programs, like Little Ninjas. And we've seen that sort of morph beyond what's practical and become a little more overcomplicated than it had to be. So we're going to be accomplishing both of those objectives today. First of all, before we get started, just a couple of quick housekeeping items. You're on mute right now. When we open up for questions a little bit later on, you can just hit 6 on your phone and you'll be unmuted, and then you can hit 6 again to remute yourself. This is just so we can control the background noise and barking dogs and coffee shop noise and things like that. And a second item is, as you all have heard, if you haven't yet, you will be very soon, we've finalized our dates and all of our arrangements for the first event of the year, our spring marketing event, which is going to be in Orlando, Florida. That's going to be May 7th through the 9th. And we're right down here in Orlando in a really nice spot, really great spot. You don't even need a rental car. You're sort of in the hub of activity down here. And this is the 2010 NATMA Quantum Leap Marketing Bootcamp, and this is going to be a very different event. And here's the 5-second commercial. Is we did that huge industry survey. I'm sure you guys saw it in your email box, over the last several weeks, maybe several weeks ago. And we surveyed over 10,000 school owners, and we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of returns of responses. And here's what they said. What they said that they wanted from the event was more one-on-one FaceTime with people who actually have been there and done that. People like, Stephen Oliver, myself, other school owners who are actually operating schools in this difficult market and who are getting great results. And that's one of our primary objectives for this event. So we're going to have plenty of time for congruent, high-level marketing discussions with those folks. Secondarily, they really wanted stuff that school owners are actually using today, nuts and bolts, A to Z. I want to copy the campaign and use it in my own school. And we're delivering that at the boot camp as well. In fact, we've had 6 or 7 big breakthroughs in 2009 in our inner circle group and in our peak performer group. Big, substantial marketing campaigns that pulled gangbusters results. And we've sort of bundled those strategies, and we're going to be discussing those live with the implementers on stage. So it'll be a hugely valuable opportunity for you to see exactly what worked, see the sales letter, see the envelope, see the, you know, the strategy behind the campaign, and be able to, you know, Bill Glazer likes to use the term swipe and deploy. You know, be able to use that strategy in your own school just by tweaking the campaign that already worked. So I think those two items are going to be hugely valuable for our attendees. And then third, and finally, we're also bringing three never-before-discussed new profit centers to your business. The mantra that, you know, Master Oliver and all of us at NAPMA have been sort of chanting over the last several weeks in 2010 is multiple streams of revenue. And you should have multiple streams of opportunity in your martial arts school. Obviously, the tuition you're deriving from the students in the school is primary and the one that you have to spend all of your focus on. However, there are some of these ancillary profit centers that don't take any extra time on your part, that simply leverage the relationship you currently have with students that are already in your school. And we're going to be talking about three very unique, almost no labor, and I know it kind of sounds too good to be true, but it actually is. It takes very little labor and almost none of your time. You already have this herd of customers that trust you, know you, and like you, and they are out in the market consuming other services. And this is an opportunity for you. One example is Michael Gravett is in the self-defense product business. And he has a business model that you can overlay in your martial arts school, which is kind of like doing a Tupperware party, where parents come together, mothers basically come together, and they have an event where they, you know, if their daughter's going off to college or they have personal safety concerns or whatever the case may be, they all get together and have basically like a big Tupperware party, and they see the newest and latest self-defense type products. And that's exactly in line with our customers' needs, right? We have lots of parents in our schools. We have lots of adult families in our schools. And this is a profit center that you can bring to your business that doesn't cost you any money in inventorying product or anything like that. This is simply you're bringing the relationship with the customer to the table, and you're able to add revenue to your school's revenue simply by selling additional products that you don't even have to touch, right? So it's a brilliant strategy, and we have three very similar strategies that no one is talking about in the martial arts industry that you're going to have exclusive access to at the event in March. So if you haven't registered for the event yet, you really need to do that. It's imperative for you and your staff this year to really get a fast start to the second and third quarter of this year. So go to natmaquantumleap.com. And get registered. If you have any questions, you can certainly call Bob at the office, but you know, the easiest thing is to go to natmaquantumleap.com and get all set up with that. So we're in a very intimate setting this time, and we are going to sell out. We're about a third of the way sold out with the room already, so you're going to want to reserve those tickets as soon as you can. So that's that. That's the big upcoming event that everybody really should be in the know on. And I'm really excited about it because I really believe that these three alternate profit centers, a couple of these retention strategies we're going to be talking about, and all of these marketing strategies that we're bringing to the table are all designed for people who want to expand their marketing reach without exploding the marketing budget. So all of the stuff, not all the stuff, but 95% of the things that we're going to be describing are very low cost, very high leverage, meaning you're not going to have to go spend $10,000 on television, you know, advertising. This is more about, you know, how you can leverage group relationships with, you know, big herds of customers and move them into your school. So that's that. Those are my two and only housekeeping items for the day. So let's dive straight into primary topic number one. You made it.
I've been here for 10 minutes.
I didn't hear you bump in. That's great.
Oh, that's fine. So what, step back just for a second, if you don't mind. One of the things that we sent to everybody that they received before the end of January was that, the 10 things you must do to thrive in 2010. And I think it's probably useful before we're done today to take a little bit of Q&A on that. as well as the other topics that we have here. And we specifically want to make sure we cover today a little bit on that, but also, you know, February and March specific, what you do in your marketing to have heavy results there, as well as we were going to go into you were calling preschool programs, little ninjas, how to deal with 3, 4, 5, 6 year olds, the younger kids programs, and maybe some of the things that that school owners have done to muck up their efforts with that. So where did you want to start, Ms. Melroy?
Well, I think the first item, is, you know, February, March specific high leverage marketing activity. And, you know, the big obvious one is Valentine's Day. And we've always had, every year, we have really big success with, you know, the little Valentine thing, you know, that strategy, the Valentine's card strategy. So we should certainly cover that and anything else that's particularly relevant in February. And I have a whole list of interesting things coming up in March that we should be leveraging as well. So, you know, maybe you can start us off on Valentine's Day promotions, and then we can kind of move from there.
Yeah, and in general, I think one of the things that separates very, very highly profitable schools from those who are less so is just the amount of time, energy, and activity that goes into special events and activities in the high-end schools. And so one of the things to really be looking at is always have a 90-day calendar, a 6-month calendar, and to a less extensive sense, a full year calendar on what are your excuses to throw a party, what are your excuses to send a special mailer to the students, what are your excuses to give them some kind of special themed guest pass to give to their friends. And all the way along the line, in any one of these things, maybe said differently, is Toby, you and I both talk to a lot of school owners who are in the top 5% of the industry. But we also, unfortunately, talk to school owners who think that they're doing what everybody else is doing, but really just aren't putting the level of passion and energy into it that it takes to get it to really work, and then blame the idea rather than blaming their implementation. And truly, the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people, in some cases, is just the combination of the amount of stuff they're doing and the amount of passion that they put into it. And so if you're looking at what's coming up here with Valentine's Day, you know, you can do one thing, which is go count heads of all the kids and adults in your school and print 30 Valentines each for them and, you know, in a fairly unenthusiastic way, hand them out to everybody in class. And what that pretty much guarantees is you're going to have no results. On the other hand, you can have a big party and a bunch of stuff going on, and you can go to Oriental Trading or something like that and go get a bunch of little Valentine's bears that you give out in class to all the students and have some games and contests around it. And you can tell all your students, frankly, early in January that you are buying them Valentine's to give to their friends so, you know, they don't have to worry about it, and you can make a big deal in the classes about it, and you can have a little contest to see who has the most friends come in from their Valentine's, and you can offer to mail the Valentine's to everybody in their school directory to give them Valentine's for everybody in their class at elementary school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so you can either build ahead of steam and go at an idea from 20 or 30 different directions, or you can just do the perfunctory activity and ultimately get very little results. And I think it's important that people start with that understanding, is it's the level of passion, enthusiasm, and number of different, frankly, angles that you go at an idea that ultimately make it succeed or fail in your school environment.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I mean, if you weren't writing fast enough, the proven strategy that's just like, I don't know, I guess almost immutable. I mean, it's successful every is, you know, like you said, the Valentine's Day cards, right? So you know, order from our print-on-demand store. You just go into the member section and click on the left-hand link, and we've got, I think, 10 different designs of Valentine's up there, something like that. And there's little to-from cards, and virtually every elementary school still does it. So if you're in the family market, this is particularly useful. Virtually every elementary school still does the day on Valentine's Day where everybody has a little bag attached to their desk, and the kids walk around and stick the Valentine card in all the little bags, right? Well, so you print those things for them, and you bundle them up in packages of 20 or 25. And like you said, a month ahead of time or 2 weeks ahead of time, there is still time to get all this to work. You know, right now, you write up a quick little letter on your letterhead, and you give it to all the students in class, and you mail it to everybody, and you email it to everybody. And you say, hey, look, dear parents, I understand how hectic your life is. I have kids myself, if you in fact do. And I know how difficult it is to run all over town, make sure that they have all the supplies that they need for this and that and the other thing. You know, now that the Valentine's Day holiday is coming up, you know, adding the stress of fighting through the crowd at Walmart and, you know, beating your head against the wall, standing in line for 20 minutes to check out just so that you can buy, you know, the Valentine cards for your son or daughter's, you know, elementary school party, just adds fuel to the fire, right? So we've decided to help you with that. We're going to provide each and every one of the students in our school with, you know, 25 or 30 karate-themed Valentines that we know they're going to love. And they're going to be able to use at absolutely no cost to you. And, in fact, it helps us because, you know, the best compliment you can ever give your instructor is to refer a friend. And this is an opportunity for him to do that as well. And then, you send that letter and email to all the students, you know, now. And three or four times between now and the 10th of the month or the 15th of the month, you know, 14th of the month. And then starting maybe 2 days before Valentine's Day, you hand every one of the students those packs of cards and give them the instructions. And their instructions are, you know, you can use these for your Valentines when you stick them in the thing. But also, I want you to say this. And you kind of program them, right? You give them a little script to say. You say, hey, Johnny, I really enjoy spending time with you in school. Wouldn't it be great if you could earn your black belt along with me at my karate school? Mm-hmm. And you drop the card in their thing, right? So, you know, you have to sort of take all those leveraged opportunities. So I think those are the three big action steps are, immediately right now, start communicating to your current students, hey, I know what your life is like. I know how stressful it is. We're going to help you by providing these things for you. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to go fight the crowd at Target, right? Mm. Second is you order these things. They can get these things shipped to you in 4 or 5 days now. So, you know, go talk to our friend Brandy over at ColorWorks who does all of our print-on-demand stuff. You can go online. You don't even need to know any software. You can go right online through your member section and customize these things for your own school. Put your logo in, put all your, you know, your contact information and everything. Order them, have them shipped to you, and they're really cheap. You can get like 5,000 of these cards for like $250. I mean, they're astronomically inexpensive. And you can get less than that, of course, too. But I mean, Jiminy Christmas. I mean, it doesn't get any cheaper than that, right? So I think those are the action steps.
Mm-hmm. And Toby, what you would want to do with them is, you know, never forget that this is now an excuse to mail something that's a little different and personalized to all of your prospects in your database. So you want to mail them to everybody who's been in for a birthday party or has been in for an intro and didn't enroll or any other, you know, any other reason that you've got their contact information, you mail to them. It's also something that you can take to the daycares in the area, the community centers, or the other types of organizations that you work with, and give them, you know, plenty of them to hand out to all the kids in the school there, or in the program there. It's also, and again, you just kind of keep going through the list and say, well, you know, what else could I do with this that is going to be productive for me, right? And so you always want to go through and mail it to everybody who's been a prospect. You also always want to go through and mail it to everybody who's been a student and dropped out. And, you know, I think your efforts on that type of stuff are really never wasted. If you keep mailing to a student for 2, 3, 4 years after they've dropped out, you either, you know, get them back in, or I can't tell you how many times we've ended up with You know, the student themselves never came back, but they kept sending us referrals, or the student never came back, but then they end up bringing their kids back. And just maintaining that goodwill, you know, long after, you know, they stop coming as a student is very important. So we want to take the list and say, what else can I do with it? Well, if I gave every intro that came in a packet of 30 of them in the next 2 weeks, if I gave everybody who I interacted with out at a demo a packet of them to give to their friends, if I you know, you just keep going on and on and on. And again, that's, again, the difference between very successful with this stuff and not is how many different angles you go at it and how useful you make the idea.
Yeah, I could agree more. It's all about leverage. You know. Well, it's a long story, but one of the speakers that we're going to have at the Quantum Leap, interestingly enough, ties into this conversation. Jimmy Mack has been in the industry for a long time, and his previous strategy was basically teaching school owners and their staff how to use lead boxes most effectively. And he really does have a unique system for that really is very different than what you think. But there are some new strategies with this too, with these little ad cards. And we're going to be talking a lot about that at the event. And in fact, there's a way that, and in fact, you should bring your staff to the event, because Jimmy's going to help teach your staff how to go to these businesses and create these relationships with local businesses. But these types of Valentine's cards as well are infinitely applicable in that strategy as well. All the local community businesses that you currently have a relationship with, all of them have customers too. And in most cases, they have very similar customers to the customers you have. And in fact, if you're doing your job really well, they have exactly the same customer that you have. Therefore, this is another touch point with that market, with the family market, the parents, the families, those types of things. So all of the Valentine's vendors, everybody who does business as a direct relation, as it directly relates to the holiday, should be on your high priority list. Flower shops, candy shops, costume, you know, Valentine's costume places. All of these places are going to have a huge influx of customers over the next 3 weeks, and most of them are going to be your customers, right? So this is just like Halloween, 4th of July, all of these other holidays. All of these businesses are going to have a big influx of business, and this is your opportunity to sort of siphon on, you know, siphon off a piece of that business, or be in cooperative collaboration with those business owners to add value to what they're providing to the customer, and at the same time get a referral, get a lead, get students. So I couldn't agree more. The big difference is leverage. The guys who really struggle are the ones who, like you said, order some cards, give them out the day before Valentine's Day. The ones who have really good results are the ones who send the letter, send the email, do the voice broadcast, announce it in class 67 times, have an event 3 days before, you know, in the school that let everybody know what's going on. You know, all of these pieces of leverage are really what it takes to really get big results on the deal. So I think that's brilliant. In March, I just have a real quick list, Mr. Oliver. You may have some insight into this. In March, there are some interesting holidays as well that you should be considering doing something with, either from a marketing perspective or culture in the school, activity type things. And you know, the big one obviously in March is St. Patrick's Day, and we always do the same thing basically with Valentine's Day and St. Patrick's Day. Other than St. Patrick's Day isn't as dead on of a hit to have them all take ad cards into the school, right? But we certainly are going to do the St. Patrick's Day party and those types of things. But let me give you just real quickly the list of opportunities here that are, like you said, excuses for reaching out to leads, reaching out to folks. May 7th is Daughters and Sons Day, which is like Kids Day, if you ask me, right? So, I mean, so it's Daughters and Sons Day, so this is your opportunity to bring parents for an activity. That's the 7th. The 13th is Good Samaritan Involvement Day, which is, again, a great cultural fit for everything we're doing in the school. The 14th, obviously, is Daylight Savings Time, so, you know, therefore, you know, leap forward, all that sort of stuff. The 17th is St. Patrick's Day. The 22nd is As Young as You Feel Day, which, again, I think is a great opportunity to bring parents into the school. The 23rd is Near Miss Day, which is kind of like one of these eclectic weird holidays. But, you know, so all the drills we're doing in school that day, they're not actually going to hit the target. They're going to, like, almost hit the target, right? You know, that's just kind of like a kitschy, cute idea to do in the schools. And the 29th is Mom and Pop Business Day, meaning all of the, you know, non-franchise, non-chain businesses in your community. The 29th is National Mom and Pop Business Owner Day. So this is a great opportunity for you to throw a party at your school for local business owners and have them come in and maybe contract with a coffee shop or something or the donut place or, you know, one of the businesses who are mom and pops and put together a little group of local businesses who market to the same customer that you do, have them come into the school or maybe a little ballroom at the hotel or something like that, and, you know, and make the belly-to-belly contacts with those folks. So that's an opportunity. And then the last one, March is actually National Nutrition Month. And that's obviously a dead-on fit for the fitness aspect of what we're doing in the schools. So those are just some real quick, you know, opportunities that are on our marketing calendars for all the schools and are, again, excuses for you to go through the database and go through your lead list and things like that. Anything in March, Mr. Oliver, that you'd expand on that?
Well, one of the things I'd say is that, you know, mom, pops, are, you know, are pretty much all franchises are local owned operators. You know, there's a few of them that have, you know, like in the movie Blind Side, 83 Taco Bells. But usually the franchise owner operators consider themselves mom and pop business as well, the local business.
Well, that's right. Well, that is absolutely right.
Yeah, you know, again, let me step back to what strategy is. Some school owners who listen to this are going to be, you know, are going to think that, you know, what the hell does all this stuff have to do with running a martial arts school? Well, really what it is you're looking for any excuse to have something special go on at the school for students, something special in your direct mail to get people's attention, and to be something beyond just the attention of the postcard hoping you're coming to roll in karate classes today. And an awful lot of what we're going to do at Quantum Leap is about that, too. It's about making it special, really and truly, you know, showing people how to get attention. It's the, you know, the hardest thing to do in any advertising, and frankly, the hardest thing to do with your students, too, is to get their attention and put something in front of them that, you know, that sticks out in their mind, if you know what I mean. So an awful lot of this is just an excuse to do something interesting with the adults in your school, to do something interesting with the kids in your school, to do something that's a little bit different and interesting with your direct mail, an excuse to have an event. And again, you know, you really want every event, and you want everything that you do to be mission oriented, right? So everything you do is either designed to improve retention, to improve renewals, or it's designed to improve referrals. And so you want to be all the way along the line looking at how do I have the best impact on each of those.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I couldn't agree more. The probably next on the list, and let me maybe expand on something you just mentioned a second ago. But like you said, it's about getting attention, and especially when we're talking about direct mail, when we're talking about marketing, you know, it's all about doing something different, doing something that if I'm in direct mail, it means I have to do something to actually get them to open the envelope and to be engaged with my message. If I'm doing email or if I'm doing voice broadcast or if I'm doing whatever media I'm in, I have to do something unusual. I have to do something out of the ordinary to get anybody to pay attention, much less to get lots of people to pay attention, right? Mm-hmm. So exactly what you said is true. We actually have a special guest at Quantum Leap named Mike Lee, and I've been working over the last good number of months with Mike generating a whole series of ad campaigns that are, I guess what Bill Glazer would consider outrageous advertising campaigns. I consider them lumpy mail or 3D mail. And right now I think we're up to 17 or 18 unique campaigns, all that have very interesting, kitschy, lumpy direct mail strategies attached to them. And it doesn't mean it's only relegated to direct mail. You can use the same strategies in email and in other media, but it's about the creative process. And we've kind of gone through that process. This is actually going to be a big component of what we're teaching at the show at Quantum Leap, is how to really cut through the clutter and to really get your message not only delivered to the customer, but when the potential customer is interacting with your message, they're interested and entertained. People thrive for entertainment, and information to them is almost irrelevant. You know, just think about, you know, how many people watch C-SPAN versus how many people watch Orange County Housewives, right? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, they keep on talking about trying to take C-SPAN off the air because there just isn't there aren't enough people watching it, right? So, I mean, and the test, you can do the test on that yourself. Here's the test. All of you who have gone to college or have gone to school or in any form or another, as quick as you can, in 3 seconds or less, try to write down 5 things that you learned in your sophomore year. I mean, that's pretty difficult, right? Now, name 5 people from Seinfeld. Right? Now, I mean, that's a pretty easy test to do for yourself, isn't it? I mean, you can name 5 people from Seinfeld in a half a second, and you can't list 5 pieces of information that you've accumulated, that have been probably pretty important pieces of information. You can't name 5 of them, right? It's difficult. Yeah. So people want and need to be entertained, and if we can entertain them in a manner that influences them to become great customers, great students, what a win-win that is. Right? Mm-hmm. So that is a big component of what we're accomplishing at Quantum Leap as well. So let's then transition. So now we have a pretty robust action plan for February and March, along with some direct implementation strategies, especially for February. I mean, you guys have to hit this one out of the park. This is such a low cost, virtually no cost. I mean, if you had these things overnighted to you, it might cost you $300, right? And that's if you order 5,000 of them, you know? So virtually no cost deal that, you know, always generates good results. So let's transition into number 2. There has been, and you know, without pointing fingers, obviously Melody Schumann was the initial developer of the Little Ninjas program that NATMA, actually NATMA developed, but Melody was the person who was chosen to develop it. And she's a great instructor of preschool students, and she's a great instructor. Now, unfortunately, over the last few years, that theory about age-specific programs has sort of kind of taken on a life of its own and has become muddled, and we've seen an awful lot of schools who have a lot of students, just not really generating a lot of revenue. And we start analyzing the challenges that they're having, and we start in this coaching relationship with people like the peak performers and inner circle members, and we really take a look at their stats, and we take a look at their class schedule, and we take a look at all this stuff. And it seems that this age specificity has migrated from how we interact and teach the student into screwing up the business model itself, into messing up the renewal process and the renewal procedure and the monetization of the students and the revenue of the school, the revenue model. So maybe you can expand on that. It's been very damaging to an awful lot of schools that we deal with. And, you know, certainly we've had the ability to go in and, you know, pop in with parachutes and help them fix it. But it becomes a beast. So maybe you can walk us through the beginning of how that happens, and then we can talk about what's super important about how to fix it. Did we lose you? I think you may be on, Master Oliver, you may be on mute. We're not sure.
I am.
But I am. Oh, there you go. There you go. You're back.
Okay. But I missed what the question was. I apologize.
Well, no. The question was, let's start at the beginning and sort of talk about how we get off on the wrong track on this deal, and then how we get back sort of on the right track.
Well, you know, several years ago, I did that series of what I called mini boot camps and ran around the country and worked with school owners as diverse as New York City and Boston to Chicago to Houston to San Francisco, L.A., and Seattle. You know, it seems like what has happened, which is where, frankly, peak performers and Inner Circle and the franchise solve this problem for people. But I had come to define for school owners as we started talking that really the industry had ended up being two types of people. It ended up being the ones that were overwhelmed with information, and in many cases had been a member of NABNA and a member of several other organizations, and had been getting information from four or five or six sources. And in some cases, unfortunately, in the industry right now, there's a bunch of people running around as gurus who really don't have much depth of understanding of how to run a successful school. There's others that they may have been getting information from a variety of sources, all of whom have had some experience, all of whom have had some successful experience, who have all done things that are radically different. And when they implement piecemeal from different people's information, they end up with a mess rather than with a congruent and effective system that's going to make their school work more efficiently. And what I was finding with the more successful schools that are the ones I've always dealt with is that they've ended up with something that works okay financially, but they've created a mess for themselves with just too much different stuff going on, if that makes sense. And ultimately, I think the problem in this age-specific thing is that the schools that take it to what seems like the appropriate and logical conclusion, in fact, our Inner Circle members in Denmark, I was just having this conversation last week, is they've implemented this idea, but really what they've done is complicate their life. And they've gotten stuck into an idea that a 7-year-old has to be taught with other 7-year-olds, and they can't be taught with 12-year-olds, who can't be taught with 14-year-olds, who can't be taught with adults. And a couple of things happen that are just wrong with that. One is schools use it as a yardstick for pricing, and for some inexplicable reason have gotten the idea that younger children should have a lower price point than older children, or that adults should have a different price point than kids. And that in and of itself, one, adds a layer of complication to the sales process, and two, really I don't think it's founded by the reality of what parents are willing to pay and what adults are willing to pay. The second thing becomes an issue of scheduling. Really the purpose of Little Ninjas, and ship in here anytime, Toby, but the purpose of Little Ninjas should be to develop the children to the point where they can mainstream into the rest of the program. It shouldn't be to permanently put them on a track to be in a completely separate and parallel program. And so do you treat a 4-year-old differently than you treat an 8-year-old? Well, initially, yes, until they've matured to the point that you can treat them both in a very similar fashion. So, Toby, what you and I have both found is so many school owners have overcomplicated their life, have ended up in something that is kind of a mess in their school operations, and then by the time they're done with everything, they set themselves up so they don't get very many family enrollments, because if the family has to come down a total of 6 different times in order to have 2 siblings and a parent take class, they very rarely will be willing to do that. 2 is they've created a pricing structure that minimizes their overall results and overcomplicates their life. And 3 is oftentimes they've really minimized the level of quality that people are achieving, because the question is there more difference between a 7-year-old learning and a 12-year-old learning? Or is there more difference between a white belt, a blue belt, and a brown belt? And there certainly is a need to differentiate students, even with a completely integrated rotating curriculum. There is a need to differentiate students based upon time in your program. As somebody who's been in your program for 2 years is certainly different than somebody who's been in the program for 2 months. But at the same time, you know, you really shouldn't be making it your life work here to overcomplicate your program.
Yeah, you know, the next thing, and probably the most financially crippling problem, is that it also complicates the renewal process.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So now you've got, you know, let me paraphrase what you said, too, because this is exactly what I've seen as well. And by the way, you know, this has absolutely nothing to do, you know, no one is trying to minimize what Polity has accomplished or you know, the structure of how Little Ninjas was 10 years ago versus how it probably should be today. This has to do with seeing the results of this sort of pendulum swing. And as the pendulum has sort of continued to swing unabated, it's really caused these types of difficulties. And it comes from the school owner really wanting to do the right thing. The school owner really wants to teach the 4-year-old and the 5-year-old to their optimum level and the 6 and the 7-year-old to their optimum level. So it comes from a good place. Did you want to jump in on that?
Well, I was going to give a different analogy. As you know, a couple weekends ago, one of the things that we did with our regional developers is we walked them through some personality profile training. And walk them through Myers-Briggs and the program, a profile called Format, and spend a little bit of time talking about how you teach people who are more visual, more auditory, more kinesthetic. See, in those cases, and it's the same deal here, is a general knowledge and a basic application is incredibly useful. A more in-depth knowledge is useful, but if you over-specify it. If you decide that the only person who can be a good teacher has to be of this specific personality profile, then what you've done is you've taken the tool and taken it to an extreme where it then falls apart. And the same thing is true of this age-specific deal. It's a good concept at a certain level. And certainly at the preschool level of being able to implement a program where you have a bunch of 3, 4, or 5-year-olds in the program, it's, you know, it's incredibly useful. But taken to an extreme, both an extreme in screwing up your programs and pricing and an extreme in overcomplicating your class structure, it goes from something that's useful to something that's debilitating.
Yeah, absolutely. And we really have seen a lot of that debilitation. It's sort of become sort of like paralysis of analysis, where you have this class schedule that becomes almost unmanageable, and the simple, clear objectives for all of us should be: enroll new students, renew new students, renew existing students, keep them forever, make them great, right? I mean, that's how simple it should be. Now,
yeah.
Absolutely, the instructor on the floor and all the assistant instructors have to have the skill set to be able to chunk curriculum appropriately for the age level. They have to have the skills to communicate appropriately to the age level. But the argument could be made, and I believe this to be true, what is the more productive structure for a 7-year-old with an attention span problem? Would it be to be surrounded by other 7-year-olds with attention span problems?
Right.
Or would it be to be surrounded by 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds who don't have attention span challenges? See, my argument would be surrounding him with a more productive student peer group would be more productive for him than less productive. So there are two sides of that coin specifically, but the big challenge is how do we make it a smooth process to move someone into our orientation program, then move them into something that's more valuable for both of us, right? And overcomplicating that piece of the structure definitely inhibits that process dramatically. And so then the next piece of the logical argument is, well, why is it so important that we move students into a higher level program? And the answer to that is very easy as well. It's much easier to make a second sale to someone who's already bought something and is happy with it than it is to go create a new customer from scratch. Mm-hmm. So if we have a customer, if like I'm going through this right now, my Lexus is ready, you know, I'm ready for another one, right? You know, I got to tell you, they have been great to me. So I'm driving everything they have, you know? I might go test drive the Audi and I might go test drive the Porsche, right? But see, and I got to tell you, I'm really leaning towards the one I'm already happy with, you know? Mm-hmm. And they could easily upsell me, right? And I'd be happy to be upsold. You know, wouldn't you? I mean, think about the car you drive right now, whatever it is. So, you know, Master Oliver, you've got the Turbo, right? Which is, you know, I think new, what, 145,000, right? Now, if Porsche came to you and said, hey, I'm sure you're happy with the one you've got. We've got this new GT3, and we can get you into it for only 185. See, that might be a sale, right? I mean, that's a pretty attractive option if you're happy with the thing you got, right? Now, what unfortunately many school owners find themselves in the unenviable position is that the customers aren't that happy with them. Therefore, when they go back to try to sell them something else, they have an uphill battle because the customer wasn't that thrilled to begin with. So, you know, you can't be there, right? But so I think that's the dynamic. We don't want to allow the schedule and the structure for those younger students to interfere with the smooth process of moving people to leadership, moving them to Master Club, moving them to the Black Belt Club, whatever your specific structure is in your school. So here's how you unwind the, you know, ball of yarn, if what you have is a ball of yarn. Maybe you can walk us through that. what is the paradigm for simplifying this?
Well, I think the paradigm for simplifying it is having a paradigm to simplify. And you know, I don't mean to answer a question with the question, but the route to being more profitable is not to add layer upon layer upon layer of complication to your operation. The path to be more profitable is to be continually simplifying, right? You simplify in part by adding systems, and as you add systems, it removes the need to, you know, be reinventing the wheel on a day-by-day basis, because there's a way we do things around here, so to speak. The other way you add profitability is you just continually simplify how your business runs. And, you know, at the most simplest, you know, I mean, a school really is all about how do I get more students in the door? How do I make sure that I enroll the highest number of them as possible? Next is how do I make sure that I upgrade them as quickly as possible, and next, how do I make sure I keep them as long as possible, right? And so as you look through all of that, the real issue is not, you know, if I'm doing $7,000 a month now, if I add another program and I add another scheduled classes and I add another set of things, that's going to get me to $10,000. You know, it just doesn't work that way. So what I want to do is constantly looking at how do I simplify, make my life easier, make my school simpler, make my training process with people simpler, and you know, and that makes, you know, for massive improvements in your school.
Yeah, you know, one of the pieces of magic to getting a really high ratio of students to participate in your, you name the program, Black Belt Club, Master Club, Leadership, whatever you call it. One of the pieces of magic, and everybody emblazon this in your psyche, we all of us humans, right, all of us, are products of social proof, right? All of us make decisions in some small part, and in some cases in large part, based on what we think is expected, based on what other people do, what other people tell us, what other people say, what other people might think if we do or don't, right? So we're all products of social proof. Therefore, one of the biggest pieces of leverage, one of the biggest pieces of, you know, really untaught, this is sort of like secret magic in the box type stuff, right, is the social proof in the classroom. And we call it, our term for it is the sea of blue, right? And for us in our in the Moloch Karate franchise schools, the leadership people wear blue tops, right? They wear blue uniform tops. Very simple but significant, you know, piece of culture. And the sea of blue means when the next new student walks in the front door, when the next orientation student, when the next prospective student comes in for their intro, what we want them to see is the sea of blue. They want to see all the students in class in the blue leadership tops, kicking and punching, having a great time, but that's how they look, right? They have the blue uniform on. The whole class looks blue, the sea of blue. Then when they go and do their intro, they do their orientation class, whatever it may be, and they get their white uniform, now already they're naturally predisposed to be thinking in their head, well, this is great. I got my uniform. It's very cool. Well, it's a white one. I guess I must, you know, get the blue one later. You know, I must have to do something to get that, right? That's kind of what their thinking is. And their natural expectation is, their psychological predisposition is, how do I get that one, right? You know, what's next? How do I move to that level, right? And they'll never articulate that, never. They may ask the question, hey, how, you know, what's that uniform all about? But what they're really saying is they feel the gravity of social proof moving them that direction, and they just don't know why, right? So one of the pieces of magic that this overcomplication in your schedule and overcomplication of segmentation of classes causes is you never have the sea of blue mentality. See, when that new student in the crisp white starched uniform goes into class, pretty quickly he needs to start seeing all the students around him turn blue, right?
Yeah. Well, behaving the way that you want that person to behave. You want them
to have the
bandwagon effect that everybody else is behaving this way, so obviously it's the way I should be behaving.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you painted a bigger picture, because you're exactly right. It's more than just a uniform. It's more than just renewal. It's more than just, you know, moving them into another program so they can write a bigger check. It's about behavior. It's about creating a better person. And it's exactly, that is much more important than probably what I was even describing. But you're exactly right. If you want to surround them with people who are behaving the way you want them to behave, you want those parents to be sitting next to parents who behave the way you want them to behave in a manner that's productive for you and in the school. That's a brilliant distinction. So let me go back to the description of the student's experience. When they're in the classroom, so they've been in class for 3 or 4 weeks, what they should be experiencing is, like you said, the rest of the people, you know, this overwhelming majority in this social group are in leadership. Well, if I have, you know, 6 separate classes for my, you know, 3, 4-year-olds, 5, 6-year-olds, 7, 8-year-olds, 9, 10-year-olds, right? If I have 5 separate sets of classes, that never happens. I never get momentum, right? I'll tell you something that happened to me directly. We did a transition with the school, and the school, you know, on paper was the easiest transition ever in history. 84% of the students in the school were enrolled in leadership, right? It was the sea of blue, right? So now, if you're an incoming school owner, if you're an incoming, you know, manager, let's say, of a school like that, well, how easy did your renewal job just get, right? Every student that's in the school, you know, every new student, which is, you know, 18% of them or whatever that number is, now sees 82% of the students, 84% of the students are in leadership. Well, that's naturally what I do next, you know. So now it's just a matter of you sitting down at the table and figuring out how to make it work for them, right? So that's what you want to create. You want to create this momentum, this social, positive social momentum, right? And if you have all of these segmentations, it's almost impossible to make that happen. So when you start unwinding this ball of yarn, what you want to do is take the 40,000 foot in the air approach and say, okay, I want all of my orientation people to see all the leadership students, all my Black Belt Club students, all my Master Club students, whatever you call them in your school. That's what they need to see every day. They need to see the examples of how I want them to behave. They need to see the example of the, you know, the level of the program that they need to be in. So how can I do that? So then you go back to creating your class schedule based on the needs of the business, based on the needs of creating that type of social structure. Then when you manage your classroom, you can manage age specificity. So that means when your instructors demonstrate a technique, they demonstrate it in a different way for the 4 and 5 year olds and then a different way for the 17-year-olds. Oh, well, that's probably a big gap there, but perhaps a little bit of a different explanation for the 5, 6 year olds than maybe the 7 or 9 year olds get, right? But that's an on the mat classroom management challenge, which really isn't very difficult to solve, not a program structure challenge. So this is a big paradigm shift if I'm in the mindset of my school now looks like Frankenstein with all of these components kind of plugged into it, but they don't all work together to provide the highest level of value to the student or to the school. Does that sound about like the direction you were going?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, anything to expand on that? I mean, that was really the big aha for that, I think, is how to unwind that ball of yarn, you know, and how to sort of think about this thing globally. Any other thoughts on that? You know, what perhaps do I need to be doing in my instructor training classes and things like that to make sure that the 6-year-old is being stimulated at an appropriate level as opposed to the 12-year-old? You know, how does that look on the floor?
Well, let me go at it from a slightly different angle, and then I'm going to have to run to this other webinar, Toby. But from a slightly different angle is I would guess that probably pretty much everyone who is on the call, anyone who is a member, has staff, and perhaps most of your staff, who are very technically gifted, they're technically oriented, they like their style, they love Kenpo, Shotokan, Kung Fu, or whatever it is, but they very easily forget what their mission is. And their mission is to get more students, keep them as long as possible. The only way you're going to have a huge impact on their lives and a huge impact on their both having a high level of physical ability, but a high level of mental, emotional, personal development is to keep them for 2, 3, 4 years, because nobody who studied any style of martial arts for 3 months and dropped out really accomplished much of anything. So it's really easy for your staff to forget their mission. And their mission is to get them as long as possible and to have them So you've got to keep going back to that, both to yourself and to your staff. And then you look at all the things that you do, and you've got to recognize that you and I both know school owners who have a base tempo curriculum, who really have, I don't know if you're picking up the second one, but we're
echo. Yeah, I think you're... You might be breaking up just a little bit.
Yeah. But to finish the thought, and then I'll let you open up for questions, is we know school owners who have a base Taekwondo curriculum, who teach everybody the same thing, who are running $1 million-a-year school. We know school owners who have a base Kenpo curriculum, who run $1 million-a-year school with basically one program. And so when you take that, is what can happen in those schools is you have a base Taekwondo curriculum, and you have a little ninjas group that brings those kids into that curriculum, introduces them, and spends as much time as possible to mainstream them into the rest of the program. And perhaps you have a different marketing approach to get, let's say, 35 or 45-year-old women than you do to get the kids by themselves. And with the adult classes, a little more fitness-oriented. With the kids' classes, a little bit more fun and personal development-oriented. But other than that, it's a very simple operation where everybody knows that the mission is get as many students as possible, get them committed to train to black belt and beyond, and keep them as long as possible. And the further you get away from that, let's say you do transport after school care, a cardio karate or kickboxing program, you do a Krav Maga program, you do a kids program that's, let's say, Taekwondo, and you do two other curriculums, whatever that might be. Well, the further you get away from that, I mean, if each of those curriculums is a $30,000 to $50,000 a month individual school in and of itself, great. But you don't see, you know, whether it be Tiger Shulman in New York, or you look at Master Clark schools, you look at the Kovar schools, very rarely do you see very highly performing schools running four or five or six different marketing programs to sell four or five, six different curriculums that have four or five or six different pricing structures. Very rare. Now, are there some warehouse schools that do that? Sure. But it is a more difficult way also to have a bottom line, because you have to have a separate staff for each one of those. You have to have a separate marketing campaign for each one of those. You have to have a separate class schedule for each one of those. And it just massively overcomplicates your life start to finish.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting distinction. That you're right. All of the folks that we know of that are in the, you know, $5 to $10 million range and above, it really is all about picking something and being great at that something, right? It's not about being an expert in 60 areas. It's about being really an expert in one, right? And it is about getting the students keeping it forever. But thank you for the time. I know that you have to run.
The thing that you have to be an expert on, though, is you have to be an expert on marketing. You have to be an expert on effective communication. And you have to be an expert at teaching people effectively in a way that they're capable of learning. And I think so many people confuse their own expertise in Kung Fu, Shotokan, or Kenpo as somehow being what it takes. And it is such a small, minor, and trivial component of the picture of running a school that almost doesn't merit mentioning. Is, you know, does Harvard University need to have experts in economics? Sure. But they also need to have the infrastructure built that attracts students. They need to have the infrastructure built that keeps them and keeps them focused and organized, and they have to have the infrastructure in place that creates the learning environment. And the guys who are experts in economics or the experts in mathematics are infinitely replaceable. But the overall culture and infrastructure that's there is the thing that's truly unique that continues to attract the highest quality people. So I think people have to get over their thinking that their years of training in a certain style really has much to do with running the school. If their years of training as a master instructor who's learned personality profile and learned how to teach appropriately for the different people in the school, learn how to be motivational, learn how to be engaged, learn how to show their sincere interest. That combined with the fact that sales and marketing principles is really what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I'll turn it over to you, your capable hands, Mr. Milroy, and we'll be looking forward to our call next month with everybody.
Absolutely. Well, great. Well, I did have one question that came in by email just a few minutes ago. And if you do have specific questions that you want to email over, that's fine, TobyMilroy@NATMA.com. And otherwise, we will open up for Q&A here in just a minute or two. Excuse me. But the question was, it says, in specific, how are you chunking the classes? How are you seeing schools chunk the classes on their schedule? So I guess what they're asking is, what is an easy, most appropriate way to actually chunk out the age groups? And let me give you the nuts and bolts answer and then try to explain it. Right now in what I see as being the easiest model to be the most successful with, right, meaning infrastructure-wise, is there is a prep class. So there is like a quote-unquote Little Ninjas class, a separate class for Little Ninjas. And in some cases, there's a couple. But typically, it's going to be divided by the program that they're in and their age more than it is just their rank, right? So, for example, in all the Mile High Karate schools, but in expansion from that, in a lot of schools that we coach with and consult with, we see that they have a separate class for, let's say, 4-, 5-year and 6-year-olds. And the goal of that class is to mainstream the student, right? So the goal of the 4-, 5-, 6-year-old class, the goal of that quote-unquote Little Ninjas class, is to move them through the Little Ninjas curriculum, which, by the way, you know, if you don't know what that is, you know, you should investigate it because it's really good. But the goal of the Little Ninjas curriculum is to physically and emotionally prepare the student for training in martial arts. It's designed to help them with their motor skills, help them with their, you know, gross motor skills, fine motor skills, teach them at an appropriate level, so that they can be productive and successful in the quote-unquote regular program, right? So again, if we're trying to teach front kick, and we're teaching a 9-year-old front kick, and there's 4 parts of a kick: chamber, kick, rechamber, set down, right? Without talking about foot position or any of that stuff. Well, a 9-year-old has the gross motor skills and the coordination and the balance to be able to do that, to be able to do chamber, kick, rechamber, set down. A 4-year-old doesn't have yet the balance and gross motor ability to do chamber, kick, rechamber, set down without falling and slipping and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So that's really what this separate class for, let's say, 4-, 5-, 6-year-olds is all about. It's about teaching them basics. It's about teaching them balance and focus and chamber, kick, rechamber, you know, all that sort of stuff, right? At a much more broken down level than it is in the regular program. So then the goal is in that quote-unquote Little Ninjas class is you're identifying as soon as you can and moving them through the curriculum as soon as you can those students who are now ready to be mainstreamed in the regular program. At the same time, you want to make sure that those classes get to see the sea of blue, right? You have to make sure that you manipulate your schedule so that while they're, you know, coming to class or going away from class, or you have lots of guest instructors in the class, something like that, who are those living social proof examples, right? So you can't have the Little Ninjas be so separate that they don't get to see the other guys, right? That's very damaging to the ability to renew them, to move them into your leadership program or your, you know, your Black Belt Club or whatever the case may be. So I hope that answers the question. So in practical terms, we do have separate classes in most of the schools that we see as being very successful. There is a separate class for those guys who are 4-, 5-, 6-year-olds or so. But the objective is, even if they're 5, if they have the ability to be in the mainstream class, and they have the ability to be successful in that class, we move into that class, right? Because the goal is to get them involved in leadership in that program, because we know the long-term benefits of that program are the best thing that they can ever do in their life, right? So then the second component of that is, what about the students who aren't ready to be mainstreamed yet, right? Do they have the ability to migrate into leadership? Do they have the ability to move into those programs? And that's just the decision that you're going to have to make as you move your program through its paces, right? And what we do know statistically, and I'm sure you guys know this as well if you're running a preschool program, what we know statistically, virtually beyond any shadow of any doubt, is the younger the student enrolls, the longer they stay. Statistically, the kids that enroll when they're 4, 5, 6, that type of thing, coming to martial arts class simply becomes part of their life, right? It simply becomes part of the daily routine. And once something is part of your daily routine, it's very difficult to break that habit. And it's a very productive habit, right? It's a very productive function for that student to feel it's a normalized activity, right? To feel that this is just part of life. I go to my daycare, my elementary school, or my preschool. Then I go to karate. Then I go have dinner, right? I mean, that's great for the long-term results of that student. So what we know statistically is the younger they enroll within reason, the longer they stay. Now, I don't know a lot of people who have had a lot of success with 3-year-olds or 2-year-olds or any of that stuff. I'm sure that there are programs out there, you know, like Mom and Me programs and things like that. But, you know, I haven't seen any, you know, big, bright, shining examples of, you know, substantial business models built on that. However, for, you know, four-year-olds, five-year-olds, six-year-olds, absolutely. Lots and lots and lots and lots of examples. And, of course, we have lots of internal examples. So that's sort of like our, you know, the paradigm on that piece of it. But we do know statistically that the students who enroll younger stay longer, and especially when we can create that, you know, very robust relationship with the family and all that stuff. So that's that. We'll definitely open it up here for Q&A in about 1 minute. So if you do have a question, simply hit 6 on your phone, and you'll be unmuted, and you'll be able to ask that question. And if not, I have one more quick item to go through. So go ahead and feel free to hit 6 on your phone, and we'll, you know, I'll take whatever time we have left to answer any questions that might be lingering.
Mike Pace, I have a question for
Michael.
You regarding the format of the Valentine's cards. Is there some sort of something on ColorWorks to get a model to use, or like with the whatever text or whatever you have on that thing to, you know, I've never really seen one, so I'm not sure what they should look like.
Yeah, just go, yeah, basically it's, well, the model is, you know, you go to Target and you look at what they look like there, right? And okay. And really what they are is they're kind of like 4-up little cards, and that we call them ad cards, right? So they're maybe 3 inches by 6 inches. But just go to color, just go log into the print on demand thing. Go to the member section, top left hand corners, print on demand, and then just log. You have to log in again, but you'll get into the system, and just go to sort by campaign. Click Valentine's Day, and I think there's like 10 examples up there. I don't know, 8 or 10 examples, and you can customize them right online. So you can put whatever text you want. You can put whatever offer you want. You can do any of that. But basically, it's just, you know, to and from. Because the kids are going to write to Johnny from Sally, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a blank that says to and from. And then it's got like a little karate cool kicking guy, you know, something like that, right? And it says, you know, something like I get a kick out of you or, you know, whatever. And then on the back of the ad card, it has a little bit of copy. And I believe the copy that's up there, I'll log in while we're talking. I'll read one to you. But the copy is all designed to just, you know, basically, look, the realistic nature of this thing is the parents are going to be looking at these things, right? The kids are going to bring them home. They're going to open, you know, they're going to pour them out on the table. And, you know, the parents are going to look at it too. But the copy is like, you know, I get a kick out of you. I'd love to invite you to come, you know, kick it with me at my karate school. Here's the thing. And it has a little offer on there. I'm almost there. I'll log in. But the idea is you want to have a message that appeals to the kid and the parent. Okay, this is what it says. Dear parents, here's how to help your child accomplish anything they want to. Have a kick in Valentine's Day, this one says. And then there's a spot on the bottom for your logo, your name, address, email address, phone number, website. Dear parents, here's how to help a child accomplish anything they want. Greater academic achievement, set and achieve the greatest goals, a fit, healthy lifestyle, and last but not least, have a lot of fun. Our teaching system will improve your child and fulfill their potential every day. And then there's two little balloons. One says, ask about our free beginner trial course, and the other one says, plus a free uniform. But you can customize all that. So you can put whatever offer you want in, you know. So if you want to offer them, you know, 2 weeks plus a free uniform, that's fine. If you want to offer them, you know, I like the vocabulary of a free trial program plus, because then it's not defined how long it is. They don't make a value decision. And then you know, we always have a bunch of bonuses, the uniform, the DVD, the CD, all that stuff. But you can do other things. So you can do, you know, free one-on-one evaluation with a professional black belt instructor, you know, whatever you want. So you can just kind of fill in those blanks. And here's the pricing, by the way, which is, like, ridiculous. But here's the pricing. 50. I don't know why you'd want to order 50 of these cards. But you can order 50 cards for, like, $33. You can order 750 cards for, well, that's weird. Okay, so you can order 750 of them for $200, or you can order 5,000 of them for $250. Or you can order 10,000 of them for $500. That's interesting. Well, whatever. So the big price break is you order 5,000 of them, you get them for $250. I mean, that's out of control. But so that's one example. Let's see another example here real quick. This one, yeah, very similar copy. So, you know, I mean, okay. You're speaking to the parent through the kids, basically.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted some sort of a model to follow, so that helps.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. Just go on there, Mike, and just go on there. And anybody's free to do this, by the way. I don't know how you're going to beat their price, but that's fine. I mean, if you want to print them on your own laser printer or something like that, you can go on there. You can fill in all the blanks. You can click refresh preview, and it'll give you a PDF proof. So you can just print out the proof. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll have a sample of it. So, you know.
By the way, I had a problem logging in. I don't know if other people are going to. I had to contact them to get the password's different than my NatMa account, and I don't know why. But anyway, I wasn't able to get in. It's supposed to actually reset my password. They haven't done it yet. So, but Kathy Groomer, Gaumer or something is the one.
Exactly. It's 610-367-7599, extension 222, and they can do that live while you're on the phone. So nope. that shouldn't be a big deal. We migrate the database over to them so they can update your passwords, but sometimes if your password gets changed in our system, sometimes it doesn't migrate. It's kind of a complicated thing, and really it's a long story, but they don't have the ability to change the portal. So it's difficult. But yeah, just call them at that number, and Kathy will take care of it for you.
Thank you.
Cool. Sure, no problem, Mike. It's a no-brainer. You guys, everybody has to do this deal. I mean, it's a big hit, you know. I mean, look, $250, maybe it's a few bucks in shipping, right? But, you know, so maybe it costs you $300 out the door. And, you know, you get 5,000 of those things out in the community, oh, my gosh, you know. However many students you have times 30. You know, now some of them are just going to throw them away. You know, some of them aren't going to do anything. But, you know, if you make a big deal out of it in class and stuff, a lot of them will do stuff with them, you know. So, anyway, any other... That was kind of strange. Any other last-minute questions there? I have one last item here. So if you do have any questions, go ahead and hit 6 on your phone, and I'll take that. But the last item is this. Let's see how to explain this. It's a little complicated. So one thing I want to make sure that everybody's kind of taking full advantage of, and we're expanding this all the time, is the online virtual classroom, okay? I'm sure that there'll probably be a couple of more little bugs that we have to iron out as we go, but we've got the thing, you know, up and running pretty well right now. And what the virtual classroom is all about, it's in your member section. So if you go to the member section and log in, there's a link on the left-hand side that says virtual classroom. And the concept behind this is, let's say you have your staff meetings every Monday morning. The concept is you would, you know, sit your staff down in front of this thing every Monday morning, and the video on top is going to be some sort of every week this updates. So every week on Sunday night you'll have new stuff, new videos. This particular example this week, February week one, is a mic chat XMA form combination video. So this is how to sort of develop like an XMA type combo or something like that, right? So this is basically just to stimulate the creative juices of your instructors, right? Last month it was a creative bow, kind of an extreme bow form with Greenlee. So the idea is to for your instructors to see this stuff and to really get their creative juices flowing and to really energize the classroom, right? And this is very important stuff. It's not, you know, it's not that we want you to go teach the stuff, you know, verbatim to your students and this is the curriculum you should be using. It's really all about how to motivate, energize, and reinvigorate the creative energy in your instructors and in your classroom, right? Just like little ninja drills, it's all about the concept, not necessarily the ABC of doing the drill, right? Then also on the virtual classroom, we're going to be providing all the words of the week and all the gold team reports that you can, you know, print off from here if you like. Your instructors can print off and study the scripts so that they can use them in class. And obviously, the gold team example is for your instructor kind of training classes, so that may be something that you'd print off. Or if you have some sort of like a chief instructor or something like that, then in at the bottom of the page, we're putting mostly kind of adult-oriented class material. So the Edge MMA type drills, grappling drills, ground fighting drills, knife drills, stick drills, things like that that you can bring into your adult classes. So, and this thing updates every week, and I just, with our team over here, we just put together an entire other module that we're going to be plugging into this as well. So what I would really like is for everybody to start kind of using this, right? Put your instructors in front of it every week, make them watch it over the weekend, you know, whatever you think is appropriate. And I'd really like some feedback. I'd like some feedback on two things specifically. Number one is one of the things I want to avoid is I don't want to have there be so much lengthy material up here that the staff has to sit there for 20 minutes and watch it and you know, eyes glass over, they fall asleep, they fall out of their chair, and your staff meeting is ruined, right? So I want to keep these very brief. I want to keep them energetic and exciting, that type of thing. So I'd love feedback on that. The second thing I'd like feedback on is what components would you like to see, right? What types of drills, what types of activities would you like to see up there? Would it be that you would like to see more preschool drills? Would you like to see more advanced drills, you know? I've picked a very eclectic, style unspecific set of material to put up here. And you're going to see that. You're going to see some very high-level, high-energy cardio-type drills. You're going to see some very low-energy, very technical, traditional self-defense-type drills, right? So you're going to see all sorts of that stuff. But I'd really love some feedback to see exactly what it is that you'd like to see more often, less often, whatever it is, on that virtual classroom. So feel free to do that. Now the last module that we're integrating, and this will take some time, right? So I can't, you know, I'm certainly not going to promise that we'll have it up in any number of days, weeks, or months. But we're also building and integrating into this module an online instructor certification program. And that would be where your staff, in fact yourself, would be able to walk through, this is the type of content that, the type of structure that this will be. This will be many pieces of material from our attorneys that deal with liability in schools, right? From the psychologists and the developmentalists that we work with on program development, some physicians on injury prevention, proper teaching as it applies to kinesthesiology, right? As you know, body mechanics, things like that. Some real high-level instructor certification material. Now, I'd love some feedback on that before we launch. If you could wave a magic wand and make all of your staff more knowledgeable about one thing, about one area on the classroom. We're not talking about sales or anything like that. That's a whole nother, animal that we'll be talking about very soon. But if you could wave a magic wand over your staff and make them, you know, 100% more knowledgeable about X in the classroom, what would that X be, right? Would it be understanding the psychology of a five-year-old? Would it be understanding, you know, stretching and PNF and dynamic and static and all that sort of stuff? Would it be understanding body mechanics? Would it be understanding, you know, psychology, success skills? What would it be, right? So if you could think about that for me, and feel free to zap that over by email, TobyMilroy@NAMA.com, along with your feedback about the virtual classroom, I would value that very highly, and I would be happy to reward you for your participation. So I would love your feedback on that. So let me know what your thoughts are, and we will address that and probably, you know, perhaps include that in the content of the next iteration of the classroom. So I'm really excited about that. Final thing I'll say before we either sign off or pause for a final question is if you haven't registered for the Quantum Leap yet, do that right now. The early bird price is right now, and it goes away in like 2 days. So you can register right now, I think, for like, you know, $199 or something like that. So if you're not registered yet, go to natmaquantumleap.com right away. Make sure you get registered. You can register up to 5 staff members for half price, staff or key staff members or spouse or business partner, that type of thing. So that's definitely something that you're going to want to do right away. As soon as the new sale, basically the only reason that the tuition hasn't changed yet is because I haven't yet completed the direct mail sales letter that we have to do for the first drop. And as soon as I do finish that, then, you know, our cost of marketing the event kick in. So therefore, the registration tuition does have to follow suit. So take the advantage now to register. We're going to be right down here in Orlando at the airport, and you really don't want to miss this. It's, you know, we're taking this very seriously this year, that everybody who walks out of the door has to have their 2010 marketing plan tight. They have to know how to go generate 15 to 20 new students each month with no marketing cost, and you know, be able to hit the ground really running hard. 2010 is going to be a great year. We all believe that the economy is really picking back up. We're seeing some positive indicators on a lot of fronts. We're seeing a lot of traffic now moving into a bunch of our schools, and all of it is almost all of it now is community involvement activities. So it's important, and we're definitely going to be talking a lot about that at the event. So anyway, thank you guys so much for your time, and we'll be signing off. And I really appreciate your attention. And if you could give me your feedback and email it over to me, I'd really appreciate it. And if not, we will talk this time next month. Thanks so much, guys. Speak to you soon.